Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and while Tribal Council is where death happens, this is where we explain why death happened. Joining me, of course, in doing so is my co-host, Jessica Lewis.
I was like, where the hell is he going with this? That was a little dark.
But I mean, blame Jeff Probst.
I know. That was an interesting. I have to say, Jeff Probst during Tribal Council this season has been very much like he's so
into. Can we just do the whole podcast like this?
he like leans in and he just looks so giddy and happy. I love it. But I just think it's adorable because I'm like, mm-hmm. He is just loving life right now sitting at Tribal Council. Nobody should be that happy during Tribal Council, but Jeff Probst is. So
that's right, because that is where death happens. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess if fire is your life and he snuffs your fire.
That's true.
Yeah,
death happens for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that this will probably be a much calmer podcast.
Do you think?
Perhaps
you
we
think?
Did last week.
Yeah. Last week, of course, with special guest Voce and Tiffany Seeley it was hysterical.
It was amazing.
A bit off the rails.
Yes.
Especially since I am known as a person who likes to stay on the rails.
I know, which I'm so impressed with you because I'm constantly trying to jump ahead and you give me guff for it. That was my mother actually commented. She's like, poor David, he tried so hard to control all of you and it just wasn't working. So yeah, she loved it very much, but she was feeling for you in that struggle that she saw you going through. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yes. Yeah. So we are back to our usual format of the two of us. We will, of course, try to keep some of that fun spirit with just a touch less chaos.
Yes, I promise. So all of those listeners that were like, I want them to go back to what they did before. Hi, we're back.
Yeah. But we're not back for high.
Right. Oh, no. My boy, high. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, we've made it through two episodes with neither of our winner picks getting voted out.
Don't say that too loud.
Yeah, well.
Someone might hear you. Oh, my gosh. I know. I say every episode, but it's like, because I'm so terrible at predictions, as everybody knows, and I tend to cause people, I think, to get voted out. As soon as they started showing high at the beginning, I was like, oh no, what's going to happen? They're going to start focusing on him. And then he just kind of disappears. I'm like, all right, good, we're okay.
So, yeah.
Made it through.
Yes. Well, I already mentioned that we explain why survivor deaths happen, which we agreed sounded a bit morbid. But there is such grace in this podcast that it makes me cry each week when we compare the game of the person voted out to the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since.
So much grace.
So much grace.
I don't think people would agree there was grace last week.
Well, yeah. But, you know, we look, of course, at all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, secret scenes. Again, secret scenes. Mm-hmm. Woo!
Yay!
We have hit a bit of a technical snag getting the season 42 version of the rules on the website, but you can still see season 41 through the link at our dedicated page, robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as usual, we have a few things to discuss before we get to the rules. It will not take an hour this week. I guarantee that.
It'll be much more controlled.
Yes, yes. To start, you talked about how terrible we are at predictions.
Yes.
And what did we say absolutely last week?
Oh,
we
said
that Taku tribe will not go to tribal council before the merge.
Yes, yes. And thank you to that being pointed out to us by a particular someone who might have been on that crazy podcast with us last week.
Yes,
just reminding us, like, isn't it true that you said, okay,
isn't it true that you guys are terrible at predictions? Now, that particular person did admit that I was right about one thing, because I said, unless they do something crazy, like put Jonathan on the puzzle.
Which
they did.
And I,
why?
I know. And we're going to talk about this, because there was a secret scene that explained why they chose Jonathan, and they chose him because of his voice. I don't think that they were considering what usually comes at the end of that type of challenge, where there is a puzzle that needs to then be completed. But I will say, they were all very close on the puzzle. However, the green team, whatever their name is again, I don't even know.
Who was the caller?
That was Lydia.
Yeah.
And Lydia, they were way behind, but the puzzle?
She killed
it. She killed it, right.
And Taku was ahead and came in last.
Right. So it's the puzzle. Again, it comes down to the puzzle. So when you're dealing with a situation where you need to have a caller, you also need to know that that person is going to be responsible for an additional component. Although Jonathan got them there, he didn't get them there fast enough.
Yeah. I mean, as Tiffany repeatedly noted last week, Jonathan never made it past 11. 11. 11 in counting to 51 on the triangle geometry problem. And he admitted that was not his thing. So what made them think a puzzle would be his thing? He was literally pointing to the piece for blindfolded people.
I know.
Pointing does not help.
But he clearly did very well leading them through all of the structures and collecting the pieces.
Yeah, but
I know that doesn't help.
Hold on. I'll point, and all the people who are just listening to the podcast will be like, what is he pointing at? What is he doing?
I know. He tried. He did. He has a good spirit. But And I will say that a situation like that, I only was able to observe when they did that type of challenge my season. And
you wouldn't have even needed a blindfold. You could have just gone out, you know, with your eyes swollen half shut.
That was the day that Jeff Probst told me that I looked like I was a badass, though. So I was like, thanks. I appreciate that. Because, like, he just was, my eyes were so bad. But I will say that you have to have someone who can maintain, like, composure. And I do think that Lydia, we just saw that. She didn't get concerned that they were behind. She just maintained composure and she stayed on top of everything and very calm. And that's what you need in those moments, in those types of situations, because you literally are it. You are everything at that moment. And those people are nothing but hands, and you are everything in that challenge. So it's a very, very tough position to be put into. And so I do feel for Jonathan, because they had a plan going in, which made sense. We need the loudest voice possible. Right.
But they didn't change the plan when they got there. They were like, okay, he's the caller. It's like, but it's a puzzle.
Yeah. He's
there. Like, it's a pizza. Look.
That was a strange pizza. I've never had pizza cut that way.
And then I didn't understand. Jeff was saying, you know, a different strategy from the bottom. I'm like, well, how else would you do it? But obviously there was a different way of doing it, and he did it differently than everyone else. I will say, before we get any, because I already had a comment about this on social media, they were saying he was tapping it. he was tapping where they should go. And one time he was, maybe twice he was. There were other times where he was clearly just pointing.
But I didn't, how is he even allowed to tap it?
Like, I don't know, but apparently he was.
I know. And that to me, I mean, and I will say this, when that challenge was done my season, the callers were much farther away. They couldn't get that close to the puzzle. So I did think it was interesting how close they allowed them to get to the people who were doing it.
To literally be able to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was no tapping possible. Yeah.
Right.
In my season. But. Yeah.
And, you know, all right. Now that we've had some fun with Jonathan,
fun with Jonathan?
Well, okay. No. Stop that.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't say things like that, but we can admire from afar.
Call you Marianne. I do want to note that I'm seriously starting to think he actually studied my rules, because when Jeff was asking about strength, Jonathan said there are many different types of strength.
Yes, I loved that answer.
Okay. Now here's what Appendix A says. Strong has varied meanings. It can mean those who are literally strong and thus able to win physical reward and immunity challenges. But strong also means those who can organize others. Also, strong can describe someone's social game or their ability to blend into the background if allowed. Mm-hmm. All of this is very close to what Jonathan said.
Yes. I will say Jonathan has been doing a really phenomenal job in figuring out where he fits, because we discussed how you can't help but notice Jonathan, and people have noticed Jonathan and how strong he is, but he is also very good at his social interactions. Mm-hmm. He's obviously paying attention to that idea of strength and trying to shift it to a different type of strength. And what does strong actually mean? All of those things I do really think are coming through very well with Jonathan, and how he's thinking through the game and trying to do what he said he wanted to do, and that was hide his strength, right?
So yeah.
He seems to be pulling it off in a way, and he's still taking his shirt off, which is great. So
I suspect that was one way he was hiding his strength, was by saying there are, but kind of camouflaging it among all the other types of strength.
Right. Yeah.
But then he practically quoted the fourth rule when he said, I love everybody, but there's a game to be played. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't going to let emotions decide his vote. Is Jonathan? Jonathan, are you watching or listening now? Are you a secret Y Blank Lost fan?
Let me know. Maybe he is. You should be.
Of course, by now he's turned it off because we were making fun of him for the puzzle. But sorry.
Here's the. I'm not making fun of him for the puzzle.
Oh, I was.
Listen,
I'm just being honest. I was, you know.
I would be afraid to have to put myself in that type of role. And Jeff is certainly one to explain that to everyone, that like, when you put yourself in that role, you better be ready, because you are on full display for everyone. So the fact that he still attempted to do it, kudos, but they probably should have done some shifting at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Now speaking of shifting off of Jonathan, this week we had Mike as our first person to find a beware advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had sworn to himself that he wouldn't tell anyone, he immediately told two people.
And immediately lost it.
And one of those people told another. So now almost everybody on the tribe knows.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I know that you love what happened next, which was Daniel's plan to crush this advantage.
And I love what they did.
Any of them from getting played by encouraging Mike not to say the phrase and possibly even voting him out to stop it from happening. I'm pretty sure Daniel is trying to become your favorite player.
And I do think he's doing a hell of a job. I love Daniel. And the fact that he did that was one of those moments where we've talked about this from last season 41, when they had to figure out how to utilize these advantages in the way that they're being presented and add it to their game so they can still play the game that they want to play. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Daniel was like, wait a second, no, we don't want this turned on because we don't want the other ones. So the fact that he thought that way and convinced Mike let's not do this. I thought it was genius. I think it's really great. I do like Mike a lot too, though. So to have Mike go, but at the same time, I do find it interesting that they are having to shift their game. And we just saw him do that in figuring out how to could have put, you know, we're not doing this. No, we're not going to let this happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now, yes, thank you for crushing that.
Yes. Now, of course, Mike wasn't the only one divulging his secrets and putting himself in danger. It looked like Tori was the obvious person to be sent home, as you know, we predicted, from Ika next. But then Drea decided to spill her guts about the extra vote to try to get a women's alliance going. I found it interesting that Swathi was the one who immediately turned on this idea.
Yeah.
Since we saw and discussed last week how Drea and Roxroy and Romeo were close. So why not join the women's alliance and get out the men? Especially with the way Roxroy acts. And I mean, we saw him again in a secret scene making fun of Swathi. You know, it's like, why are you using the wrong side of the machete to try to cut that? Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, I mean, I think a lot of it was in fun, but they were definitely making fun of her for being young and not knowing music stars.
Yeah, I think that this just really goes to show that there is some overthinking that can truly happen on Survivor. And I think is because in that moment when she's coming, Drea is coming to them with this information, which stop sharing information. OK, let's just put that out there. Just stop it. I know you want to tell.
Yes.
Don't unless you absolutely have to. If your back is against the wall and you need a friend and you're like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I have a secret I can share because maybe that will help me. Mm-hmm. Drea's not in that situation. She's in a great spot. She has she was before.
Right.
But now she's divulged information. So she went from being in a very comfortable position to now putting herself in a bad position because she shared information she didn't need to share. And now all of a sudden there's this, let's vote her out instead. So that to me, I think is something that anyone who wants to play this game needs to be very mindful of.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time to share information about something you might have, but you need to wait until you absolutely need to share that information. She did not need to open her mouth.
You could have
anything.
They were 3-2, women to men.
Right.
You could form a women's alliance without telling them you have an extra vote.
Yeah, just leave it alone. There's no reason to share that at all. You are in a power position. You don't need to share at all.
Yeah. I mean, we did talk about last week that most of the tribe seems to have issues with Drea of one sort or another. So maybe she felt like she wasn't in as good a position.
And that's quite possible because, again, we're going with, you know, what we see and we're not seeing everything. But I do think that that was too soon. She did not need to reveal that information at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, then before we move on to see how Mariah did, we just need, which I think may be the first time I've mentioned her name. I didn't mention it earlier. By the way, this is why Mariah lost. do you have anything else that you want to discuss from this episode?
No, I did think that it felt like almost a slower episode.
Oh, really?
Even though, yes, it was interesting to me because even though there were things that happened, it's still, there was kind of just, I don't know if it was just because there were so many jovial moments and people were just, I feel like this cast is just generally like very happy, if that makes sense. And so it doesn't feel like there's cutthroat. I know we're just starting. I know we're just getting there. Even with the information with Drea being spoken up, it almost felt a little more just like, okay, well, this is what's happening. So it was an interesting episode because I did feel like it was just a little bit more calm.
See, there was I thought that it shot by. I mean, I thought as they were getting ready for tribal council and stuff, I was like, really? It's already been, you want something slow, watch Beyond the Edge. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. There was just something, and I don't know what it was, but my mom actually got the same sense from it too. She said she and I were chatting afterwards. I'm like, yeah, there was something about it that it wasn't unenjoyable. It just had, you know, sometimes episodes, you're like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And I didn't feel that way with this one. It just kind of felt a little more even keel.
Yeah. And I watched it a second time last night too, after Beyond the Edge to clear that taste out of my mouth. But everyone listen to the Rob and Jenny podcast about Beyond the Edge, because I'm sure that is going to be hysterical. Way better than the show itself. I pretty much guarantee it.
Yeah. Good to know.
But anyway, before we now move on to see how Mariah did, we do need to mention that the rules we're about to discuss come in a shorter and much, much more colorful version in poster form.
First try that time.
Yes. Go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed, which is also there at the bottom, bottom right of your screen. Scroll down, scroll past the long version of the rules, and go to the poster version of the rules. And you can just click on that. Scroll down a little more and you can get the poster t-shirt. Scroll down a little more and you can get the checklist t-shirt, or, you know, of course you can get the checklist mug that I have.
There's a poster mug too.
Ah, yes. And the poster mug. So yeah, just click on those things and you can just bop around and buy to your heart's content.
And you can just be in full support of our incredible little podcast here.
That's right.
I do really appreciate it. I really do. I mean, I appreciate all of the comments, and I know that you probably don't get to see these as much as I do, but people on eBay are always very, very kind too. Yes. It's very nice to hear. They just love everything that we put out. So thanks.
Appreciate okay, good. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right. So, yeah, let's go ahead on. Mariah told Parade that she doesn't know why she got the boot instead of Marianne. The interesting thing to me is I think she actually knows it a lot more than she let on there, because as we go through the rules, we'll find that she talked about a number of things that didn't go right for her. Some of it was more obvious than others, and certain parts were interlinked. So let's explore what we saw in the game and found out since then to figure out why Mariah lost. The first and most important part or rule talks about the need to scheme and plot. And part of the rule talks about doing it right away. What we didn't know, but Mariah told us in interviews, was she didn't play it that way. She told Mike Bloom, "I'm still thinking Survivor seasons 1 to 40. And I'm like, I have a day or so. I've never liked it when people hit the beach and are like, yeah, I saw you on the mat. Let's connect. You don't know anything about them. I really wanted to have an alliance that was organically based on something. Problem, Mariah, is this goes directly against my advice in this rule, which says from the very beginning, you have to start making alliances and cementing relationships. And I do mean the very beginning.
Yes.
You know, yes, it can be difficult to know who you can trust, but either you do it or you're gone. Later in the game, you can rework alliances according to what is necessary to stick around. But early on, you should make use of whatever relationships present yourself. If you don't, you might not have to worry about what happens later in the game because you won't be around.
Yes. And I will say, someone who was within that 1 through 40, you know, 33, I almost missed out because things happened so quickly. And it wasn't because I wanted to wait a couple of days and see what was going to happen. It just, it all happened so fast. All of a sudden, there was, I was being asked about coming in on this alliance. And I was like, oh my God, I almost missed out on this because people were moving like this.
And that
was immediate.
And that's the thing. This is not because it's a 26-day format versus a 39-day format. Don't buy the propaganda.
No, no.
This is this advice that I just read has been in the rules for like the last 20 years.
Yeah.
This is something a player should always do.
Yeah, but I can appreciate this is something that I can appreciate about Mariah is that she did come into this game being herself and wanting to play. I like that she used the term organically because I feel like that's an expression of how she lives life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've often said people can't come into this game and try to be something they're not. But she also needed to adjust some components of herself because she said, she 4 days in, that's too late. You know, she realized that at that point she had missed out on any opportunity to really formulate a bond with someone because everyone else had already done so.
Yeah,
and especially with a smaller tribe, it becomes that much more important that you formulate those bonds quickly.
Yeah. What if they had gone? I mean, if Jackson hadn't been pulled from the game, two tribes would have gone to tribal council on day three.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe Jackson would have still been voted out because he was caught looking for the immunity. Maybe she would have been.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't have anything to do with the 26 days.
Right. But
she said alliances were made before we were even on the beach for 6 hours. I didn't play well. Honestly, my strategy was too little too late. I think I started to figure it out on day four or day five. But by then, there were already a bunch of different alliances with everyone else. So it's good she recognizes it now, but unfortunately, it didn't help her then.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be in this game playing catch up for sure.
Right. Right. Now, one of the relationships we saw was that Jonathan is part of the odd couple with Omar. And we talked about Jonathan a lot already.
I love this couple.
Yeah. But he's also super tight with Lindsay. He loves Marianne. And he said the only one he wasn't close with was Mariah.
Right. Yeah.
And she also told Gordon Holmes that maybe part of the reason she went home was she didn't know what the relationships were. Mm-hmm. So it does sound like, not only did she not jump into the alliances, but she didn't even recognize that the alliances were being made.
Yeah. And I think that this is another example, too, of looking for any reason to vote someone off when you're early game and you're not really sure what you should base it on or why you should keep someone over someone else. And it can really come down to a likability factor or, I just know this person more. I feel more connected to this person because they all seem to like her. I mean, like Jonathan said, that she seemed like a really nice person. She's was almost like a mother kind of figure, but the connection wasn't there. And so this is something where it really boiled down to who do I have a better connection with, Marianne or Mariah? And Marianne. And so it was something as simple as that, even though there were things about Marianne that might have frustrated people on the tribe, they were willing to take that over someone that they didn't have a connection with. And so that's why it becomes so significant to build those relationships and bonds right out the gate.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the second rule says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. I didn't see anything to indicate Mariah had any problems here, especially considering what we just discussed in the first rule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we didn't see much of her at all, but especially in this area, I just don't think it played a role.
Yeah, no, I agree. David, you're right.
Hey. So the third rule tells players to be flexible. How do you think Mariah did here? I waited till you took a drink and then I
know you did. Well, that was a quick one. Yeah. Well, I would say she didn't do well because she realized, I mean, we hear all of the things she said in her exit interviews, just in regards to realizing a little too late what she needed to change about herself. And so rather than come into the game with this mindset of I want things to flow organically and just kind of let it be, she should have realized right away that's not going to work and changed that dynamic and changed that approach to the game. And she just didn't. And I do think that she probably struggled a lot with herself and putting herself into this game and wanting to be true to herself, but still needing to play a game. And so I don't think that she was able to change that component of herself. And she realized, obviously, much too late that she needed to.
Yeah, I think that in some ways she was very flexible. In that she didn't want to lock in too soon.
But that's
not the kind of flexibility that's needed on Survivor.
No.
Now, I saw the look on your face.
I know. I'm like, you just want to disagree with me. Let me figure out how to show that she was flexible.
No, it's just too much flexibility because of the reasons we talked about. She was so open that she didn't have any solid allies.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. I could give you that spin.
It's the wrong kind of flexibility, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
So, all right, we can move on to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. While Mariah was on Survivor as part of an emotional journey, I was going to say I didn't see anything to indicate she was making emotional decisions. But of course, this was the first real decision that was made, and she was clearly on the outside of it, so there's not much to go by there.
Well, she did talk about that the issue when Jackson was taken from the game and Marianne's reaction to it, and how Marianne was crying and was very emotional in that moment. And she was angry with Marianne for the way that Marianne was acting, because she felt like she had a closer bond with Jackson than Marianne did. And so I thought that that was interesting, that she in that moment had kind of decided, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not going to cry. Like, I'm going to keep my emotions in check. And so I think that she was very aware of herself and her perception of that emotional response from Marianne was not one that she didn't think it was a good thing for Marianne to be doing that. So she seemed to be very aware of how that could be perceived.
Yeah. And she also, you know, we saw her getting annoyed with Marianne being on all the time.
Yeah.
But she already knew the decision came down to the two of them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how Mariah would necessarily have done anything different.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
besides make connections sooner.
Well, in the emotional realm. Now, the fifth rule is about the social game and reminds players they need to pretend to be nice. Now, I don't think anyone had any personal issues with Mariah, and indeed, they all seemed to like her quite a bit.
Yep.
The only thing was she did not seem to be as social as Marianne, though admittedly, I'm not sure anyone is as social as Marianne.
that's fair.
As Jonathan said, he connected with Marianne, but he didn't say that about Mariah.
Right.
You know, I think that there was something of an age gap situation going on. She pointed out that she gelled with Jackson because he was only like a year older than her. So they understood each other's preferences and songs. And he actually understood some of what the younger people were talking about more than she did, which obviously not great for her. You know, and here's the other thing you had talked about earlier. She didn't pretend to be something she wasn't, but she kind of did, because she worked hard not to be the mom or the ream. And now looking back, she thinks she was too concerned about that, which caused her to be more reserved, to bite her tongue.
Yeah.
You know, she told Mike Bloom, "I don't think they had that connection that they would have if I had just been Mariah and not worried about being seen as the mom."
Yeah. So she gave Tiffany a shout out on this one, our girl Tiffany. And I will say that this is what makes Mariah so interesting to me, because there is this desire to want to be true to herself in that organic nature that she seems to present. But then she became so concerned with, again, perception, right? And being perceived as the mom. For whatever reason, people don't want that role when they play this game. And I do know why, because I know that the mom role can be seen as problematic, and you can get called out if you end up being mean. Oh my gosh. And you're a mom and you're mean.
And by me being mean, that means voting someone out. Yeah.
Right. You know, so it can certainly work against you, but unfortunately, sometimes you have to lean into what you realize your kind of position is or role might be in the tribe. Mm-hmm. Now, I played a game with someone else who ended up, you know, I mean, Sunday was ultimately mm-hmm. the mom role, and she and I were not that far off in age, but she encapsulated that more than I did. And so it allowed me to not have to lean into that. But unfortunately, well, for Mariah,
when you're on a tribe that is broken down by age.
Yes.
And they're all closer in age.
Right. Oh, and that's a great point. That is a fair point. But in this situation, I think that Mariah should have looked at it and said, you know what, I am the mom. Mm-hmm. Like looking around, this is my role. And she should have leaned into it, because that's what people, I think, were expecting of her. And even though she didn't lean into it, it was still something that people thought about her. I mean, Jonathan mm-hmm. talked about it specifically. So I do think that there are certain components of yourself you just can't get away from. And if you look around and go, well, geez, there's really nothing else for me to be, then you just have to be, because then you do end up trying to be something you're not. And if that's something you're naturally good at, if she is good at caring for people and taking care of people, and she talked about how things just came naturally to her. She would walk in the back so she could make sure everybody was okay and everyone was taken care of. And that was her motherly instinct coming through. And so it's unfortunate that she wanted to kind of withhold that component of herself mm-hmm. when she was so willing to keep other parts of herself at the forefront, like that.
Right.
I want things to develop organically.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. And once again, I don't think Mariah had any problems here. I mean, if anything, she was better in this regard than Marianne, because even Omar said he felt Mariah was more trustworthy down the road.
Yeah, mm-hmm, for sure.
So, all right, well, then we'll move on to the seventh rule, which covers idols and advantages, including how to handle and deal with them. We saw Mariah use her shot in the dark, which was a pretty good indication that she knew she was likely in trouble. Mm-hmm. And indeed, when it came time for interviews, she explained, in pretty much all of them, that as they were getting ready to go to tribal council, Lindsay winked at her and Jonathan went out of his way to talk about how he was going to miss Marianne. And mm-hmm. both of those things made her realize, like, okay, you guys are trying way too hard here. So that must mean I'm in trouble, which great perception on her
part. Oh, for sure.
That's
yes.
the sort of thing that makes me wish her shot in the dark would have worked, although then we would have lost Marianne. But
I know.
If that sort of perception should be rewarded. And
yes.
unfortunately, it wasn't in this case. But, you know, she knew at least to take her shot. It just didn't work out for her.
Yeah, I really do, as much as I can't stand this new added mm-hmm. component. I want to see what happens when it works. Like, I want to see this. Like, I just want to see it. I just want to see what happens.
Well, what's going to happen is the person that we like the most is going, like, it'll knock out high or something like that. And then you'll be like, why did I say I want to see how it works?
I did it. It's my fault. I have to stop for a second, though, and ask, because okay. I might have missed something at this point. Every other time that we've seen the shot in the dark played. Oh, yes. Lean in on this one. Every other time, you have to be like. I can't do it. So
again, the listeners are scratching their heads going, what just happened?
Like, what is wrong with Jessica again? Yeah. Oh, God. So this time, Jeff is the one that opened up
yes.
the little scroll.
We don't know.
What the hell happened?
We don't know. Apparently, they decided we can't trust you people to open a scroll.
I was like, wait a second. What? That's not what happens. They get to sit there and unroll it. Now he's like,
maybe he wanted to make sure it was done with the proper dramatic effect. Although, I mean, it wasn't that much more dramatic.
But let me ask you this, because this is what makes it not make any sense. Mm-hmm. What if two people had played their shot in the dark? How does he know which one is whose if he's pulling both of them?
He probably takes them one at a time.
But how do they know which whose is whose?
No, if he walks up and takes one from someone.
Okay, but he took it from her. It,
yeah.
Okay, because that's the part that I missed. I was probably like tweeting or eating chips or drinking wine or something. I don't know. But I was like, I'm like, why is Jeff opening this? Like, what happened?
I mean, it could also be something like just the way things were set up. They realized it didn't work out because, like, if you're in the back row and you're opening it and facing, then the people in front of you all have to turn around and they get a bunch of shots of the backs of people's heads. Whereas if he's holding it up, they get their forward-facing shots.
Interesting.
If I had to guess, that's why. That it was a production decision to not look at the backs of people's heads.
Yeah, but I do... I feel like it's there's something there was something kind of fun about that moment where they were the ones because we got some really great reactions from people and they're like, you know, like when they didn't get it. But yeah, I thought that was a little bit weird. So, well, we got that cleared up, I guess.
All right.
Jeff was like, I need more to do during tribal council.
Yeah. Yeah. You're Let stealing me do my stuff.
Right.
I get paid by the word.
Oh my goodness.
It's a good thing they don't pay Marianne by the word.
Gosh, she's so just lovely. She and I will say, I understand. I do think that if I were on a tribe with her, I might be like, oh my gosh, stop. And oh, I just have to say this too. There was some commentary by Mariah about how both Marianne and also Lindsay talk too much, which is something we talked about before the season started that. That might be interesting because they both talked about how talkative they were. And then Mariah was like, oh my gosh, these two. Like,
yeah. When Marianne stops, Lindsay starts. It's never quiet. Have these people never heard of just looking at the stars?
Yes. So I thought that was rather funny that did end up becoming a thing. Because I could certainly see how that could be a little too much to take 24/7, like nonstop. But as a viewer,
it would be like having Tiffany and Voce on a podcast, you know, and
a little bit much.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I am. So I think she's lovely. She's enjoyable. Like she just has such just exuberance about her that you can't help but enjoy it. But I will say that Jeff, he was just loving her during tribal council in that moment when she was talking. So I hope it works out for she and Zach. I hope they make it happen.
Did you see on Twitter? She changed her last name to his last name and then he did the same to her last name.
I did not. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that so much. That's adorable.
And she, you know, it sounded like she was working on these rules because she's like, and chapter A, subchapter B, and, you know,
subchapter.
Oh, my gosh. I don't go that deep.
And, you know, and I was going to do this as well. And I just ended up going with the Jeff Probst, like staring at her when he was listening. But everyone's reactions to her were like. Like, I mean, they were like. What is happening right now? Because she just kept going.
Yes.
But yeah.
The Energizer Bunny.
Very much.
So, all right. Well, we can move to Appendix A, Subchapter A. This appendix is about the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk about voting the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. I think this is where we'll find Mariah faced a bit of an uphill battle. Because, you know, you were talking earlier, you're looking for a reason to vote someone out.
Yeah.
She was the older woman. Jackson was already taken out as the older man.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, she said that in the first challenge, they had a 5-minute lead. And in her words, she, quote, lost for us so bad.
Yeah.
While she also said in interviews that she thinks the whole tribe moved forward from that, you know. Nothing is ever forgotten on Survivor, especially when trying to come up with a reason to vote out one person compared to another. I mean, we heard that last week with Roxroy. We win as a team, we lose as a team. And then immediately, it's Zach's fault. It's Zach's fault. Get him out of here. You know.
Yeah. But also, if you kind of compare her to Jonathan, it's one of those where we could say that Jonathan caused them to lose this week. But Jonathan also brings...
A lot more.
Other things to the table.
A lot more physicality.
Right.
Plus, so it is. In my mind, they all shared in that bad decision.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. Now, she. Where was I here? Sorry.
Sorry, I threw you off.
No. It's my fault. But they, you know, the thing is that one challenge could have played into what was already being considered because as she told Rob, she does think her age may have played a role.
Mm-hmm.
And if she had been more physically fit, you know, it might have been different.
Right.
And, you know, she added that even she would have probably voted herself out for challenge strength. On top of that, she told Mike Bloom that Jonathan and Lindsay are health fanatics, and she didn't eat some of the things they ate.
Which what were they eating?
Well, she talked about grubs.
For a second?
She talked about grubs later on, so that must be it. And in hindsight, she thinks they were watching her, and maybe she should have just gone ahead and eat them to show, like, hey, I want to stay strong for you, so I'll eat these grubs. I mean,
I wouldn't take that to be too much. I mean, like, I don't know. You want to eat a grub, don't eat a grub. But it's not like she was just being, like, difficult. I don't think that's being difficult.
You must finish your grubs or dessert.
I don't think that's
more grubs. Or in the Ika tribe, lizards, apparently.
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Tori over there telling the lizards, I'm not going to hurt you. Chop, chop, chop.
Yeah.
So basically the same thing she told Zach.
Meanwhile, we had lizards just dying in our water. So
you could have made soup.
Oh, God, it was so gross. Like, that's literally a dead lizard in our water. Can we have some new water, please?
That was food. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Production was like, don't drink the water. I'm like, thanks. I'm not. I appreciate it.
I'm drinking around the lizard.
I'm really not touching that water. Thank you. Dead things in the water. Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right. Well, we said this one would take less time, and indeed it has so far. So it's about time to wrap things up. What are your final thoughts?
Let's just start with the cheetah hat, shall we? Okay. Because I talked about
the
cheetah hat.
No, you noticed this way more than I do, because I didn't even notice.
But you know what I noticed?
It's gone.
The damn cheetah hat never came out during any of the episodes, other than the maroon.
What did I say? I said it was probably something they stuck her in just for pictures.
Okay, so why do we do that then? Why do we have to put her in a cheetah hat that she never ends up wearing? She has beautiful hair. She doesn't need a cheetah hat. And they put her in a cheetah hat, and then I complained about the cheetah hat.
I mean,
and she never wore the cheetah hat.
A cheetah has its design to blend in and camouflage. Maybe she's wearing it and you just don't realize.
Oh, stop. Anyway, the cheetah hat. Bad choice, CBS. Don't put this beautiful woman in that cheetah hat when she's on an island. But they did. So I'm just going to start there. Never saw the cheetah hat again. Just saying. But as far as Mariah is concerned, aside from the cheetah hat, which I do not think she was part of the decision, I want to know, was it her choice or did they put her in that hat? I'm curious. So Mariah, if you want to...
These are the deep questions.
I am always fascinated when I see people, because I know what the process is to go through to get this clothes. And I'm always fascinated when someone is wearing something that just doesn't seem to make sense. Like, a lot of people was it Victoria who wore the winter hat?
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, why are you wearing a winter hat? And she actually responded. She was like, I wanted the hat. I get cold at night. And so I'm looking for a response. Was the cheetah hat your choice, Mariah?
I think the cheetah hat was to hide an idol in.
Well, and that's great, too. I mean, we've seen people hide, idols in their hair. So you never know. But as far as Mariah's game is concerned, I do feel for her because she had so much potential, I think, to do a really great job, because she seems to have a very, her her nature is very much like Jonathan. I want to say that there's this, the organic component of her nature, which I love that she used that word, because I do feel like that's the type of person she is. She's very interested in that, allowing things to happen organically. And I feel like if she had allowed herself to do a combination of the two, let things happen organically, but also don't try to shy away from who you actually are. Put it all out there for them. If you are the mom, lean into it. Be the mom. Be that role. Be that nurturing, caring individual. Because you know what might have happened? Maybe the tribe would have been more interested in having a nurturer as opposed to Marianne, who is not a nurturer. And because we look at the
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your
conversation. That's okay.
But I mean, she weaved a whole mat for Omar. That's
pretty nurturing. But here's the thing. I'm not saying she's not a nurturer, but yeah. Marianne is obviously, Marianne's personality was something that was being discussed. And so if you have these two individuals who have completely different personalities, if they don't know you enough, then they'll be like, well, even though Marianne's a lot, mm-hmm. I connect with her more. I'm going to keep her. They might have said, you know what? Marianne's a lot and Mariah isn't a lot. And Mariah like helps take care of me. Mariah right. makes me feel good. She right. like, right. She's a nurturing individual. So I feel for her for not leaning into that. And I know that people have kind of expressed the mom role in Survivor can be kind of the death knell. Like that's a bad thing to be. But sometimes you got to look around the room and see what you are. And if that's what you are, well, then go with it. And so I feel like for Mariah, we missed out on a lot of mm-hmm. great components that she could have brought to this game, because she did leave some of herself out of the game. And I do truly think that there are certain parts that you can't change when you walk into this game. You just can't change certain parts of yourself. And she tried too hard to change parts of herself that she shouldn't have. And then allowed other parts of herself to continue to move forward when she probably should have flipped the two and allowed herself to be the mom and then not allowed the game to happen organically around her. So it was almost like she focused on the wrong thing coming into mm-hmm. the game. She thought that was going to be an issue as opposed to this being an issue. And so unfortunately, I think we really just missed out. She yeah. should have probably approached the game in a completely different fashion. And I think that perhaps in the end, the personality difference between she and Marianne would have been weighed differently if she had approached the game differently.
Yeah. Well, in our preview podcast, I said I worried that Mariah would stand out as the oldest woman on the tribe, especially if they had to go to tribal council right away. And if that happened, I said she would need to have made some connections fast. Unfortunately for her, this was a David, you're right situation. While Mariah's tribe all seemed to get along and really like each other, the fact was someone had to go. Mariah was the oldest and apparently was seen as the weakest from what we can tell. On top of that, she acknowledges that she didn't make those fast connections I mentioned, but instead was more reserved early. That allowed everyone else to make allies who would protect them in the game, which was something she didn't have. I understand wanting to have a tight connection for later in the game, but as I've said in the rules for two decades, first you have to make it to later in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw these different aspects when Omar was comparing Mariah and Marianne as possible votes. He knew Mariah might be more trustworthy in the long run, which goes along with what she wanted. But he said Marianne brought life to the camp and hustled to battle the other two tribes, which goes along with what I was saying about connections and challenge. Mariah's brother being one of the first healthcare workers to die of COVID is heartbreaking. And I truly feel for her and the rest of her family and every single family who lost loved ones while they were trying to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mariah said being there was partially about closure. And although she indicated in interviews that she didn't really get that, I hope this at least helped.
I hope so.
The tribe really felt bad about voting out Mariah, but we all know that players have to put their emotions aside, and they all did that so they could make the decision that they felt would best advance their games. And that is why Mariah lost.
I really think we missed out. I truly yes. do.
Well, that's what I said in my predictions. I said, I hope she gets to go for a while. I'm mm-hmm. afraid she won't.
Yeah.
So once in a while, I do actually get a prediction.
Do Just once in a while.
Once in a while.
Yeah. Not that often, ladies and gentlemen. Just remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. But before we get to our next set of predictions, let me remind everyone that
predictions.
Yes. That the rules we just discussed are available in poster and t-shirt and mug form. Again, at the robhasawebsite.com/YXLost feed page.
There's so many options. I'm sorry. I'm working on my predictions now.
Oh, so okay. I guess I better go first so you can just say,
yeah. You just keep doing whatever you're doing.
All right. So we both predicted Tory and, you know, potentially by just a couple seconds, we were wrong.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried that the edit at the beginning of the episode was making it so obvious that Eco was targeting Tory next. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the Drea thing we already discussed. And we also saw Tory talk about how difficult it was and how she had to get back in the right headspace. Right. I'm worried we might be seeing a turnaround story.
Oh my God. Yes, because she's also killing lizards and cooking them and stuff.
Well, although that wasn't shown on the show. So.
Right, but still, it's they put it in a secret scene.
Yeah.
So it's
For that reason, I'm not predicting Tory goes next. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like next episode, Marianne finds the Beware advantage while Mike loses his again.
God, I love this guy.
It was here in the Y by the tree. Oh, that's helpful.
There's lots of trees and lots of Y.
Daniel's just like, you're killing me, man. You're killing me. Now, something also happens in the preview that, to my mind, looks like they may stop the challenge. It may be like the waves are too high for safety or something like that.
Yeah, someone's like almost drowning appears. It's terrible.
So I'm going to say that. Yeah, they must find some way to finish the challenge or else that's a reward challenge. Either way. But I think Taku has learned their lesson and they won't put Jonathan on a puzzle again. So they'll be okay. I don't know about the other tribe, but I just suspect Ika is going to tribal council again because they would have this past time if it hadn't been Jonathan on the puzzle. And even with Jonathan on the puzzle, they still almost ended up there.
Yeah.
There's Ika, and since I said I'm not predicting Tory again, I have to go with Drea. And of course, now that I've switched, that probably means Tory will go. But my official prediction is Drea.
I don't like that.
I know you were higher on Drea from the beginning.
I think she's a badass. I'm very intrigued by her. And anyone who can pull off that photo, I mean, I gotta get her in there. Hang on. This is one of the great, and this is what makes me so jealous.
Oh yeah,
look at that! Look at that! Oh God! And what kills me is freak any awesome photos. I got the nasty corn picture anyway. So this was I love that you can pull that look off. All right, so here's what I'm gonna do. You ready? I'm gonna have fun.
All right.
Since I'm terrible at predictions,
you go, girl.
I'm just gonna say Vati because why not? Because you know what. They have to do four. They got to go down to four, right? Because we only have four left over here on Taku. So that means they have to have four people actually in the challenge.
Right.
So I don't know how that's going to play out for Vati, but I don't know. I just want to say it. Let's just say it's Vati. And I don't know. Oh, who is your winner pick? Chanel?
Yes.
I'm just going to go with Chanel. Because I'm terrible at predictions. It's not going to happen anyway. But I got to mix it up a little bit.
What was that look Drea was giving?
I know. She was much better than that. Well, because we did see a lot about Mike, right? That they were talking about maybe we should vote out Mike. And so I feel like that's a storyline that's kind of bubbling. That there's some interest there with what is Mike going to do? And I will say that out of that particular group, even though Hai has been a little bit quiet, we haven't seen much from Chanel.
I think she's going to win. I think she's the Erica of this season.
I don't think that we're going to pull that off again. I don't think that's going to happen. But who knows, right?
So I mean, I'm just going to say, he does have a tight alliance with Daniel.
Yeah, but so does Mike. And they're talking about voting out Mike, which means Mike's not going home, right?
Could be.
No.
I don't know.
Did you, by the way, did you happen to see Mike tweeted about how he's still looking for the idol or the, you know, idol?
Oh, at the firehouse? Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Very, very entertaining. I love that guy. But honestly, like, I'm really enjoying the cast as a whole.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so it's so hard to look at any of them and be like, oh, and not that I ever want anyone to get voted out. But
well, occasionally.
But I really do think that this is just a likable group of people.
Mm-hmm,
and
mostly.
There are so many just really incredible stories and incredible, like, personalities. So mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to go home. But I'm just going to do that because it's your winner pick. Sorry, Chanel. It's okay.
Rude.
She's not going anywhere because I said it, which means it won't happen.
That's like the safest. Okay. Never mind. Chanel, you are safer than you have ever
that's
been.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it won't even matter. Like, I said it, which means you're not going to go home. There's no butterfly effect because if I predict you as a winner, you're in trouble.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. You know, we've talked about this before. There is the patron five for five. There's Jordan Kalish pops up for different special things. Rob has the new Survivor Academy going on where different people come in and act as guest lecturers. And so, you know, and even when Rob isn't directly talking to everyone, there's the Facebook groups and Discord to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us, where you could talk about Survivor, Big Brother, Canadian Big Brother, life in general.
Everything.
Yes. So you could support shows like ours and everything on the network by becoming a patron at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Or again, just go to that robhasawebsite.com/YXLostFees page. And there is a link to click there. It is your one-stop shop.
Yes, it is.
And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
And you can also say hello to us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89. I got it on the first one again. Look at that. At JessicaLewis89.
Hey.
I know. And he is at David Bloomberg. Oh, you got it too. As you should definitely follow us both, because as you'll notice, when we live tweet during the episodes, it seems to be like a who can do it first kind of thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
So you should definitely follow both of us.
And
you
for the first time ever, Jessica beat me on one.
It is not the first time ever. You're such a liar. You're such a liar.
No. Mm,
yes, liar. No. But anyway, so check it out for yourself and you can determine who is actually tweeting things first during the episodes. And then we also just tweet throughout the week. As you've probably noticed, I'm a huge Wordle geek at this point, and I'm annoying the entirety of Twitter with all my Wordle tweets. But again, it's fun. It's good stuff. So again, at JessicaLewis89 this way, and at David Bloomberg. And also, we should just mention, I don't know, David Bloomberg likes to do TikToks a lot.
Oh, yes, he does. Oh, wait, that's me. Yes, you should follow me on TikTok, where I'm at David_Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I have been doing, you know, several Survivor TikToks. I had, you know, Tori as she was trying to gaslight the viewers. I had Jonathan hiding his strength. I even had another one with Jonathan comparing him to a contestant on The Courtship who also like to take off his shirt in a boat and was not real good with math. So
listen,
pretty
Jonathan,
sure they're the same person.
You're set after this. Yeah. Okay. Don't worry about it. You'll be set.
And in fact, I've already posted another, for the most recent episode, another Jonathan TikTok about, well, some of the things we talked about with him on the puzzle.
I think you're a big Jonathan fan.
Well, Jonathan is, very entertaining.
Gold.
Let's say, yes,
gold.
He is TikTok bold. So, and then, you know, I had one about Marianne, which everyone should click on if you just want to be happy. There's a lot on social media that is not very happy, but you can click on this TikTok and you will be happy. I guarantee you.
For sure.
So again, at David_Bloomberg, or you could see them a day or two later on Instagram, which is David.E.Bloomberg.
All over the place, wherever.
Yes. And you should also make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to our YX Lost feed page and clicking on the button to do so. You'll find great content like the Know-It-Alls, Taryn Armstrong Stockwatch, Shannon Gus's Survivor International, and much more. I want to particularly highlight this week the RHAP B&B, because you should definitely make sure you listen to Mike and Liana after you listen to us.
Yes.
They are hysterical. They and their guests play games. I was on there as a guest. We did a guest swap a couple of years ago. And it's just a lot of fun. And you can be sure to get their podcast if you subscribe to the RHAP Survivor feed.
There's so many things out there for you that are RHAP related. And I would like to thank Scott St. Pierre for all of the editing that he does, not only for this podcast, but all of the RHAP content. He works very diligently, very hard. Thank you, Scott, for all of the incredible work that you do. And thank you to Will from America for our theme song. It's so catchy. It's a lovely tune. So again, thank you for creating that for us here at Why Blake Lost. And thank you, David, for another incredible episode. Although it wasn't as insane, right, as our last one. So some
of
the listeners.
It would be hard to be as insane as that one.
Just the two of us? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you keep me on a short leash sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that was
we get Voce and Tiffany, and all of a sudden you're like, "What rules? What are we talking about?"
That was because you've heard the term "herding cats," right? So,
wrangling kittens.
You can't keep a bunch of kittens on leashes; they just get all tangled, and then you're tied up in knots.
Yeah, no, Tiffany is like, "Not gonna happen."
Yeah, yeah. So, also thank you, Jessica, for another great week. We will be right back here in a week. In the meantime, go Illini and and go kettle chips. We will have some kettle chips while you're watching the Illini win at basketball.
Oh, there were so many kettle chips happening during Survivor. Yes. It happens every week.
All right. We will see you in a week. Bye.
Bye.
You lost Survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost.